And in the message, I want us to be very clear that what we're wanting to declare is that there is a God who's in heaven, who cares for us, who gave us the gift of life. Everything that we have, we should be thankful for Him. We should be thankful, the Bible declares, even in rough times, tough times, trying times, character testing times, we should be thankful. Never lose sight of who you are in the gospel of Jesus Christ. If I didn't say anything else today and close this service with that statement, that would be enough. Never lose sight on who you are in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're a child of the King. You're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Everything that Jesus received, we receive also. He shares everything with us. But there was a price for that. So if you want to turn to your Bibles to the scripture today in John 15 and 13, the Bible is very clear. It states, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. No greater love than that. Love is a funny word, in a sense. Not funny, humorous, but funny in the ability to try to understand it. It's just not a word. It's an action. It's what we do every day. How we love one another. How we share that love with people that we don't even know deeply or are just becoming acquainted with, or maybe a stranger who needed a helping hand. Love is a unique ability and emotion that we have in us. And the love that God gave us that overshadows the actual filial love that we have. We received the agape love when we became born again. That love is a penetrating love. It breaks through barriers of bitterness and anger, resentment, fear, doubt. It really does. It breaks through being offended. It breaks through mockery. Actually, it breaks through to the place of even loving your enemy. Amen. That kind of love is important. But isn't it amazing in verse 13 of John 15, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. I always get a kind of a word picture there. That what it's really saying, if somebody's about to get killed and you see an opportunity to save that life and you die for that person, that's the greatest love that there is. And soldiers across the world have done these kind of actions. I mean, I've heard testimony after testimony of people jumping on grenades to save the other eight in the foxhole or in the bunker, getting in the way of something to stop something from happening, pushing someone out of the way of a vehicle coming towards them, and they take that and the other lives. You know, there's statement after statement throughout history. And the soldiers that have protected our country have done just that. They've given their life for strangers, for friends, for family. You see, three things that we have to understand that we need to have in our life at all times. The first one is the love of life. I want to challenge you today, if I could. If you allow me to, if you'll open up your heart to me today, to take on that challenge and to review your life, how much do you love life? Loving life helps you get through things, even when it's maybe the darkest hour that you're going through. Loving life is what God gave us the ability to do through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. To love life. I know things can get tough. We all go through tough times. There's an old saying, somebody's tough time may be nothing to the other. And then something's nothing maybe something great to the other. You see, we all go through times. Maybe you've said this and maybe you haven't. Man, I just don't like life anymore. I just don't like it. It's so burdensome. So much pain, so much anguish, so much letdown, so many broken promises. I just need to know that life loves me. Well, listen, it's our responsibility to love life first, to love it. And when you're born again and you're a spirit-filled Christian and you're really walking with God, you need to understand that the Bible is very clear that the Lord orders our steps. And those steps may not be the ones that you wanted. He ordered them because he knows what your future is. He knows what you need to be able to love life to the fullest. Secondly, the love of family. Boy, how important it is to love family. I always get a little, I don't know if jealous is the right word, or a little taken back, or a little envious, just to kind of give words that you can attach to. When the grandkids come running in the house, and they come running up to me, instead of saying, "Hi, Poppy," they goes, "Where's Granny?" And I think, "I'm right here." But I understand that. But my point is that example is that oftentimes we have to understand that family love is very important. And how we portray that love goes into the lives of the generations coming up after us. Very important to show love even in difficult times. Very important to say to your mate, to say to one another, to say to your children, very important, now hear me, three simple words: I love you. I tell my wife I love her so many times a day, she probably goes, "Stop." But I believe in it. I firmly believe in it. I believe that telling someone what you really feel is necessary. And God said to us, "I so loved the world that I gave my only begotten Son, that whosoever shall call upon his name shall be saved and shall not perish. We'll have eternal life." It's good to say to your mate. It's good to say to your child. I say to my boys all the time, and my daughter, "I love you." I always tell my daughter, Erin, this. "You're my favorite daughter, Erin." And she laughs and she goes, "I know." And I said, "Well, how come you know?" She goes, "I'm your only daughter." But listen, it's telling someone that helps people stay alive in life. Amen. Now, I'm saying to you this not because I have to, but because I'm under the unction of the Holy Spirit to do. But people are raised in homes oftentimes where there is not that love expressed. They don't know how to respond to an "I love you" because they didn't hear that. It's so important that we understand the intensity, if I can use that term, if I may again ask you to allow me to use that term to speak into your life. The intensity of love, oftentimes we use the gentleness of love, the vibrancy of love, the passion of love, but there's the intensity of love too. That ability to take hold of what love is and speak that into someone's life saying, "You know, I love you." Amen. Three words can help someone get through the day. Love of family is so important. And thirdly, the love of country. I love America. I love the very air that we breathe here, the opportunity that avails us, the ability to live in so many different types of weather, so many different types of geographical locations. I mean, some people would never want to live where I live. They've told me I could never live up there. There's a lot of rain that happens. So it's kind of damp and wet in the winter. And I said, well, where would you like to live? And of course, what they're going to say, what I'm going to say, what they told me is where I wouldn't want to live. And they said, I want to live in Arizona, in the desert. And I'm thinking, whew, you know, no, I'm just not that guy. I love the beach. I love the mountains. I feel very fortunate to live in where the mountains and the beach meet one another, to live in the Santa Cruz area in the Monterey Bay. And to live in the Bay Area, I think, is an excellent place to live. The beauty of the Bay Area is awesome to me. The city of San Francisco is beautiful. Oakland is beautiful to me. Piedmont is beautiful to me. All that is beautiful to me. The whole corridor up and down 880 is beautiful to me because, you know, I love this area. I love this country. I love, my wife's going to love this, I love Cleveland, Ohio. I love Maryland. I love the East Coast. I love Florida. I love the South. I love the Midwest. But I just love America because it gives us opportunity. If you're by the sound of my voice today, you have opportunity. If you're just young, getting started in life, you have opportunity. This nation opens its arms to give opportunity to the people that are here. It's your choice, though, to love your country. And I get so aggravated if it's, I'd like to use a stronger word, but I won't. But I really do get aggravated when people say they don't love America. And sometimes, and I know I shouldn't, and I'm just being honest today, sometimes I applaud people that say, if you don't love it, leave it. I don't know if that's the right response to say to anybody. I really don't think that's a kind thing to say. But it expresses something that I think that we need to learn to love America. And our generation, the generation that I am right now, we need and we continue to want to tell the generations after us that this country, it may not be the strength it used to be, but lo and behold, it's going to be there again. Praise God. This is a great nation, a great country, and people have laid down their life that we would be able to be together today in San Pablo, California, in Contra Costa County, in the East Bay, East Bay, it's pretty East Bay on this side, you know, is the point of it to say that we're here. We're free. We can choose. We can walk outside and lift your hands and right now at the top of your voice say, I love Jesus Christ more than anything in the world, publicly. Amen. And it's okay. You can say to Skechers like they did that day, buying little shoes for my granddaughter, and the Holy Spirit said, turn around and tell the whole store, the Skechers, that I want them to go to church tomorrow. And I turned around at that door, and I looked at the whole store of Skechers, and I yelled out, hey, everybody! And they looked at me like, who are you? And I said, I just want to tell you, everyone needs to go to church tomorrow. God loves you. And they just kind of looked at me. And then the next time I went in there, they were all the workers were the same ones. And they were kind of following me around the store, looking at me, waiting for me to say something again. But what I'm saying to you is this. We need to understand that we have freedoms. We can pray at a flag post. We can pray at a front porch of a church this summer. We're going to have an outside service and a block party in August. We're going to be able to take the Word of God out there and preach it as loud as we want and have the music as loud as we want and give away free items to a neighborhood that we love. We're showing love to them. We love this country. We have freedoms, and people gave their life that we can do this. Let's never forget them. Let's never forget those that took a bullet, covered a grenade with their body. Let's not forget even the veterans today that are still alive that may not have all their extremities right now, that are home. Let's remember them. You see, the greatest love is to lay down one's life. Life is precious. It is a gift from God. Don't ever think that life isn't anything but that. It is a gift from God. Each of us has life because of the grace and mercy of the Lord our God. You know, when mom and dad conceived you, God knew who you were going to be before you were born. He knew your name. He knew your beginning. He knew your midterm, and he knew your end. He knew you. He knows you. Even though we see through a glass dimly now, we will see clearly when we pass. Even though we know such a little bit, we will know even as we are known when we meet him in the air. But he knows us. He knows every thought. He knows the thoughts and the intents of our heart. His word separates the joints and the marrow. It separates the soul and the spirit. God has everything for us. Jesus gave up his life for all of us. He gave up his life for his friends so that we would have eternal life. Don't ever forget that. We will never die. If Jesus is in your heart today, you will never die. This old body will go away. From dust we were formed, and from dust we shall return. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. It shall happen like that. But we, this body will grow old, and this body will give out, but the spirit that is within us will never die. It's the unknown that people get afraid of, but these soldiers, they didn't worry about the unknown. What did I mean by that? C.H. Spurgeon said this, "Christians don't fear death, but oh, the crossing. Oh, the crossing." It's the unknown that Christians fear. But these men and women of God who may not even have been Christians, they were just brave, courageous, and exemplary for us. They didn't think about that. They did something that is the greatest sign of love. They gave up their life that others may live. The other thing I want you to see here, that what we find is, number one, is a freedom in the spirit and freedom to worship and praise. We have freedom in the spirit. If you feel bound today by turmoil, you're still free in the spirit. Nothing can bind your spirit. Nothing can shackle your praise. Nothing can come in and just say to you, you have no right to be at liberty with God. You can pray anywhere, anytime, any place, at any hour. You can worship anytime, any place, at any hour. Praise God. Amen. You can be awake or be woken up in the middle of the night, maybe by a dream that the Lord gave you, or maybe just all of a sudden waking up and you just can't sleep, and you have opportunity to pray. You have liberty to do that. Take your liberties that God gave you and the freedom of your spirit to place them towards God instead of making those moments thinking of anger and fear and doubt. And what humans do so readily is, poor me. It's just a normal thing to respond like that. But it can be overcome by knowing that we have freedom in Jesus Christ. Secondly, freedom to call on his name to be saved. I'm so glad that I didn't have to buy a lottery ticket, which I don't buy, by the way, but a lottery ticket to get a place in line to be saved. I'm so glad that when it was time for me to call upon the name of the Lord, which I didn't do when I was younger like I felt I should, but when I came to him to call upon the name of the Lord, I could freely do it. Amen. And he heard my prayer and I was saved. And I've been saved since 1976. I've never gone backwards. I've never backslid. I've never looked over my shoulder to wish for a life that was there. I'm so glad of the future that's ahead of me. I'm so honored by God and by you, a church, to be a pastor. I'm so honored to be a servant of the Lord. and to know that God has heard my prayer and rinsed me of all my sin. You see, you and I have freedom to call upon his name to be saved. You know, if you fall, let's say you fall, you're still saved. Let's say you fall. And you get up. The Bible says a righteous man falls 7 times and gets up every time. Amen. But let's just say you get to a place to where you get backslidden and you've got to ask God to forgive you of your sin. You want to rededicate your life to the Lord. You have freedom to do that. Amen. Freedom. Because of what Jesus Christ did for us, he laid down his life for us. And then we have freedom to pray and enter the throne room of grace whenever we need to. Whenever something's going on and you need mercy and grace to help in your time of need, you can move right there into that great location called the throne room of grace. And you can pursue God and require of God and know that you can do just like David said he'd do. One thing I desire is to get to the house of the Lord, to the altars of God, and to inquire of the Lord. Amen. To take hold of the horns of the altar as they used to do in the Old Testament. But spiritually speaking, you're taking hold of the sacrifice, Jesus Christ, who is now the intercessor for us, standing at the right hand of the Father, Hebrews 7:25, forever interceding for us, who is able to save all those who come to God through him. Amen. We can take hold of that no matter what. He did this for you and I. Take time to go to the throne room of grace. Take time to see that and to understand that, what it has to do with your life. It has everything to do. It gives a place for you to come and find the throne room of unmerited favor. Amen. Amen. To have that in your life. Listen to this. This world has been full of war and turmoil. Many reasons can be given why war begins and continues. Over land, people have gone to war over land. Over money, they've gone to war over money. Religions are just a few to mention. Since the time of the fall, there's been warfare. Warfare goes on in the heart of sinners, and where there should be peace, there is not. He brings the peace that surpasses all understanding to the hearts that call unto his name to be saved. That peace, if you don't have peace in your life, why not? He is the peace. He is the Prince of Peace. He even said, "The peace I leave with you is not the peace of the world, but the peace I leave with you is my peace." He left that peace in our hearts today. Don't let the enemy filter your mind with troubles and woes and things that, are very real, but don't let them take away the peace that Jesus Christ gave you. Let not your heart be troubled. Let it be alive in Christ Jesus. And these men and women who we celebrate today for their courage, bravery, knowledge, we're fighting for something worthy of the battle. What were they fighting for? Our freedom. All the battles that they went through. The battle of the Balls, the battle of Pearl Harbor, all the things that we said, the battles in Vietnam, the battles in Iraq, the battles in Desert Storm, the battles in Afghanistan. I mean, just to mention a few, even back to the Revolutionary War in 1775, we understand that there's these incredible battles that went on. You know, many of you have not ever been, but when you know that there's someone across the way, across a field, a short yardage from you, with a gun pointed at you, and you have a gun pointed at them, that's a horrible feeling. But yet, they fought that feeling to keep us free. To keep us, to be able to say, we're free. We have freedom of choice. We have freedom of religion. We have freedom of speech. They fought for that in our country and what we have. Jesus came to this earth because of his great love and willingness to fight for what God thought was worthy. Life, which God created in us, is what Jesus came to give to us. Life that was corrupted in the Garden of Eden by just one choice to disobey. Jesus came to bring that life to us through the forgiveness of sin, by the shedding of his blood. He gave his life for us. The Lord our God gave promise in Genesis 3:15 that the life he gave would be restored by one who would give his life for many. Genesis 3:15. And I will cause hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel. In other words, Jesus crushed the head of that serpent, crushed the head of that lie. Yes, he was bruised for our transgressions. But we are alive today because he rose on the third day, alive forevermore. He restored life to us, life eternal. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Matthew 26:28. For this is my blood. When he was giving communion to his disciples, just before the Garden of Gethsemane experience and all that he had to go through, that you and I today can say, I'm saved. You know, we really mean that when we say it in our heart and we speak it out loud. We really mean it when we declare it from our heart because we really believe it. You know, it's amazing to me when I say to people, are you healed? Well, I think so. God can take care of it. I hope so. Are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. What do you mean, am I saved? If we would just turn on that same excitement for all the other areas of promise that God has given to us, we would be able to walk above those storms and fly above those storms like wings of an eagle. Amen. Be restored as youthfulness again in Psalm 103 and 4. And we understand that we can move towards the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory, either walking or running when we faint not and we will not become weary. We understand that he is the restorer of our youth and the restorer of grace, that no evil shall befall us and no plague will come near our dwelling. No disaster will be upon our path. That the shadow over us is the pinions of his wings guarding us against the evils of this world. And by the way, if you haven't read it yet in the New Testament, you are in the palm of God's hand and no man can pluck you from his palm. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Let's praise him for that. Amen. He restored eternal life to you and I. Let me continue. For this is my blood which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. Look around the room. Your name is Mr. and Mrs. Many. Sister and brother Many. Jesus gave his life for billions of people. He didn't have to. Oh, I know doctrinally and theologically I can get into debates with people over that. He made a choice to do it because of the just God that he is, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But he didn't have to. They made a choice to. Whom shall we send? Send me. I'll go. I'll step out of this purity that you and I do not understand. By the way, I don't know what it is to live in a sinless world. I don't know what it is to be sinless. Jesus never sinned. I don't know how a person can live on this earth and never sin. It's such a sinful world. And young people, if you'll hear me today, if you'll listen to your pastor with your heart and not your minds, there's a world out there that's corrupt and it's reaching for you. It's trying to destroy you. It's on our television sets. It's on your campuses. It's where you turn. It's up to you to say no to the sin and know that God has said yes to your soul. Amen? Listen to me. It's so true. Pastor, how can we do this? Can you at least tell us how we can beat this, how we can win? Prayer. Staying in the Word and be committed to the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory who gave His life for you. You didn't save yourself. I didn't save myself. I couldn't save myself. You cannot save yourself. Jesus is the only one who can save us. And He has done that because we have confessed Him by saying that He is the only begotten Son of God, that we are sinners and need to be saved, and that we repent of our sin and we invite You, Jesus, into our heart. Simple as that. Praise be to the Lord our God, Jesus Christ. How beautiful it is that the knowledge of that is. Those who have gone to foreign shores and those who have fought upon the soil of America had a purpose and they were willing to give their lives for that purpose. The great gift called love is wonderful and yet more powerful than we can ever understand and explain into words, as I mentioned at the beginning of this message. Jesus even stated in Matthew 22, 37 through 39, Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." Love is so important. I want to reiterate again. Tell someone, "I love you." Praise God. My son's 40 years old. He was leaving yesterday, Faith Ann, and him and his little red Mustang with the top down. I said, "Where are you going?" He says, "I'm going over to our friend's house right now." And I said, "Okay, great." I said, "I'll see you later, son. I love you." He's pulling away and he said, "I love you too, Dad." I said, Faith Ann, I love you." And she was so caught up in that convertible down top like that. And she's in her car seat and all comfy and stuff like that. I don't even think she heard me. But I know she would have said, "I love you too, Poppy." I know for one thing, if Grammy would have said it, she would have said, "I love you, Grammy." But let me tell you something, how important it is. That love is that important. It really is. So important. Giving up something, especially a life, is not easy, to say the least. Those who have done this have done the ultimate sacrifice. But you know what? Actually, you have done it. You gave up your life. You surrendered your life to the Lord. You died to self, Galatians 2 and 20. "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." I want to ask you a question. How much of that old self do you recognize daily? It's dead. Don't let the devil wake you up on that. Don't let the devil come in and wake you up and say, "You know what? That old self needs to come out to prove a point." You don't have to prove anything. Jesus has proven all things work together for good that are called by His name and with purpose. So I live this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. The life that we lead and live every day is so important to the Lord our God. Every day, not just Sunday. Every day. Every day. I just get up every day and listen to the Word and pray. That's the first thing I do every day. And no matter how busy it is and no matter what sort of tasks I have before, I just make sure I do that. I don't know how people make it through a day without doing that. Without hearing or listening or reading the Word and at least taking a few minutes to pray and to invite Jesus into your day and ask Him to show you favor and whatever you touch that you will own and possess, and the grace of God will lead you and He will guide your steps from walking into evil but walking in the place of grace instead. Amen. He answers prayer, church. You've been given the freedom to pray. I love that we have that in our life. We have warfare around us and also within us. He conquers all that we battle and gives us victory in Christ Jesus. I want to read these to you. I can quote them, but I want to read them because I like the way the NLT has placed it. Romans 8, 35 and 39. Many of you know this and could quote it along with me. Can anything separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean that he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sakes we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loves us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. Everybody say nothing. Nothing. Amen. But let me say this. Every human being is like this. We give power to the nothing sometimes. And there's where we got to stop. How do you do that, Pastor? When you find yourself giving power to the nothing, read these scriptures. You know, I've learned to quote scriptures in times of turmoil. I've learned to memorize scriptures in times where healing is necessary or where a battle's going on. When I pray for you, I pray scriptures over your life that God will bring to you what is necessary. Praise God. I really do. And I think it's important that we understand that how important God is in our life every moment of every day. He also stated in Revelations 12 and 11, and they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb, and by their testimony, they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. They were martyrs. They spoke what they believed. We are grateful for our veterans today who gave their lives for our freedom. We are grateful for most of all to Jesus who gave his life for our freedom. Love is not selfish by giving and conquering even the highest mountains and the greatest fears. It's a giving. Love is giving. It's not selfish. It conquers high mountains and greatest fears. His promise of freedom is sure and steadfast in our life. There's no shackles on us. We are free. Just like Paul and Silas that night, shackled to a wall in a dark, cold, dismal prison, beaten and hurting there again, strapped to a wall with a jail cell and a deep cistern. Being mocked and ridiculed, they praised. There was no shackle that was going to keep them from prayer and praise. And when they prayed and when they praised, those shackles were broken. And instead of running away, praising, look what God has done, they stopped and showed love, saying, we are still here. Do not fear. And they were able to see the jailer and everyone there saved. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you hearing me today? Am I speaking to your heart? Do you know that the importance of who we are in Christ Jesus is there's a freedom of democracy and godliness that is worth dying for if necessary? Jesus saw to it that we would have freedom to worship a loving God and Father. How important that is. I like Proverbs 14:34. Godliness makes a nation great. Godliness makes a nation great. But sin is a disgrace to any people. Our nation, for the love of God, needs to be restored to godliness again. We as Christians have a responsibility. We have died to ourselves. We have risen in Christ Jesus. And we have come forth in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I just really just think that what we need to do, I know what we need to do, is know that God is real. And we need to declare that God is the God of America, the God of the world, and the God of this universe, and the God of our lives and our heart. Amen. We need to say to all those that are trying to destroy our nation and destroy our beliefs and allow the things that are going on with our public lavatories right now and the things going on in our states that are being pushed upon what our children have to go through. We need to stand up and say no. We're not allowing our children to go through immorality and to be afraid. Tell you, if I had children in school still and I knew that my school was going to go ahead and have restrooms where my daughter would be there using the facility and a boy who thought he was a girl would go in there and use the facility at the same time, I would pull her out of that school. She would be homeschooled till things changed. We have a country that God gave us to live in. There's a reason we were born here and not in Russia or Korea, North Korea, or some communist country or a country that denies God. We were born in America because God trusts us to stand up for Christian values. You know, the reason I'm saying this is because of what Jesus Christ did, but also for the millions of people that died that I could preach this message today to your heart. To say, wait a minute. No. Our nation needs to be restored to godliness. Prayer on Capitol Hill. Prayer in the Congress. Prayer in our schools. Prayer always on the Senate floor. Prayer in our homes. Prayer. Amen. America was built on the foundations of the Ten Commandments, the Word of God, and America has been sanctified through prayer and by the confession of Jesus Christ. Amen. From the year 1775 to 2011, 236 years. 1,217,772 persons gave their life in war for democracy and for keeping America safe from tyranny and dictatorship. If it had just been one, that would have proven the greatest gift of all. If you were the only person on this earth, Jesus would have come to save you. I'm here to tell you, Jesus did something for us that if you call upon His name, you will be saved. But these people did something for us that gives us an opportunity to have a platform to say that in 2016 on May 29th, this Memorial Day weekend. Thank you, all of you. Thank you, 1,217,772 persons. Thank you for allowing that to happen. We remember them all and honor them all.